reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Today's liturgical feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross of Jesus goes back to 630, when Heraclius went to rescue the cross from its having been stolen and brought to Persia. It was when they lost the cross that, in a sense, the early Christians began to appreciate what they had even more. The cross was something that was slow to love in the Christian community. They knew that it wasn't the end of the story, that after Jesus had been crucified, he was raised from the dead. But you see no art of the cross depicted in the early centuries. You see the Good Shepherd depicted quite often. You see lots of other images. But the early Christian community as a whole was pretty embarrassed about the cross, embarrassed about what happened to the Lord. But then, with the help of the Holy Spirit, they began not just to acknowledge the cross, but they began, over the course of time, to exalt the cross. And this pattern was seen in the life of St. Paul. First, when St. Paul went preaching to the early Christian community, he was preaching about all various truths of the faith, including the resurrection, as he did in Athens. And when he started to talk about the resurrection, the Athenians in the Agora just simply said, "We'll listen to you about this another time." And when he was on the little boat going to Corinth, down through the little isthmus, he resolved from that point forward not to strip the gospel of its power. And he said, "I will know and preach nothing other than Christ and Christ crucified." And then he admitted that to the Jews, the cross is a scandal. How could someone claiming to be the Messiah, not to mention God, die on a cross? The Messiah was supposed to kick out the Romans, for whom crucifixion was the worst of all types of capital punishment. Instead of eliminating that ability to crucify other human beings, the so-called candidate to be the Messiah himself suffered that way. It would be like you signed the number one quarterback and he finished the season with 50 interceptions and no touchdown passes, and the team finished not just losing every game, but being blown out the way a Pop Warner team would against the New England Patriots. Total scandal. But then there was also the claim that he was God. How could God die at all? What a disgrace it was considered. St. Paul himself recognized that. That was one of the reasons why he hesitated when he was preaching to the Greeks thought it was foolishness. They thought one of the sort of staples of wisdom is you know how not to get executed, that you at least know how to make some friendships. You at least know how to say the cute little phrase that can extricate yourself from that life-threatening predicament. And so when they looked at the cross, they saw folly. But St. Paul eventually came to realize that the cross was the power and the wisdom of God. The power against the weakness that when the Jews looked at it, they saw. Power. The power of God's love, loving us to the end. That emptying of oneself all the way until death, death on a cross. That's the Lord's power, and it's the greatest wisdom of all, because it's the wisdom of love, that love knows how to sacrifice to the very end. So everything started to change. so that rather than being embarrassed about the cross, St. Paul began to preach it, to glory in it, as he says at the end of his letter to the Galatians, and then to live the cross, so much that in that same letter, he was able to say truthfully, after bearing the stigmata in his own flesh, that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me, because I have been crucified with Christ. The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And therefore, the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who died for me and gave himself over for me. For him, the cross ceased to be a thing, became a relationship with the Lord, and it became a means of transformation so that we would be able to become like Christ. Today, we come forward and we need to make that same transformation, not just to acknowledge the reality of the cross in the Christian life, but in a sense, be a little bit embarrassed about it, think about it just as a curse, but to exalt it in that great hymn that we sing, lift high the cross, the love of God proclaim, until all the world proclaim his holy name. That the cross itself is the greatest way to proclaim Christ's love and holy name, the love that went to the lowest depths on earth, in order to proclaim us one day as saints. In today's readings, we had that dramatic turnaround. In the first reading, the serpents were the sign of the Israelite sins that were killing them. And the Lord wanted that sign of their sins exalted in order to save them. Anyone who looked at what was killing them, now exalted by God, would be saved. The cross was the greatest sign of Jewish execution. It was also a sign of what our sins did to Jesus, the greatest sin of all, for which we would die forever. But the Lord said, when the Son of Man is exalted on that cross, when he is lifted up and people behold him, it is then, paradoxically, rather than being condemned, that they will be saved. That this is the means by which God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that we might not perish but have eternal life. Let us ask the Lord Jesus as we prepare to receive his body and blood, the body and blood given on the cross for our salvation, to help us not just begrudgingly admit that the cross is a role in Christianity, but to exalt it and then, like St. Paul, to die on the cross that the Lord gives us each day, so that we too might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died for us, that we might be able to echo St. Paul's term. It's no longer I who live with all my ego, with all my issues, with all my challenges, but it is Christ who lives in me. That the cross is the means by which I have died to the world and the world to me, so that I might live together with Christ. The Church of St. Paul in Rome, there is a great image and saying with which we can finish today that I'd encourage you to take with you throughout the day, right over the main entrance of the church, in the pendentive above the front door, symbolizing in order to enter into the church, in order to enter into St. Paul's own imitation, you have to enter under that reality. You've got a bejeweled cross in mosaic with a saying, Spes Unica, that comes from the hymn that is sung today in Jerusalem, the Crux Fidelis, the faithful cross. The cross is our Spes Unica, our only hope, because without what Jesus did on the cross, we would be spiritually goners. And unless we pick up our cross, are crucified to the world and world to us on that cross so that Christ may truly live in us, we're goners too. But because of the cross, if we absorb it, we will be lifted high with Christ forever. Just as in the stations over here, Jesus was given the cross by Pontius Pilate, and he embraced it and carried it out of love for the Father and for others. So that same cross is extended to us. Let us not run away, but run toward Christ, who is the one giving it in relationship.